Ever wonder why some of the most innovative companies today don't actually invent everything they sell? Apple didn't invent the MP3 player, yet dominated the market with iPod. Google didn't create Android from scratch, but acquired it. These aren't anomalies. They're examples of a fundamental shift in how innovation works in the modern economy. Henry Chesbrough's Open Innovation has become required reading in business schools worldwide since its 2003 publication, with luminaries from Elon Musk to former IBM CEO Ginni Rometty citing its principles. The book's ideas have transformed how companies approach R&B, with studies showing firms implementing open innovation principles experiencing 20% faster time to market and 30% reduction in development costs. What makes this revolutionary approach so powerful? It challenges the very foundations of how we think about creating value in the knowledge economy. For most of the 20th century, innovation followed a predictable pattern. Companies like AT&T's Bell Labs, IBM, and Xerox PARC built massive research facilities where scientists and engineers developed breakthrough technologies entirely in-house. This closed innovation model operated like a funnel. Research projects launched from the company's internal science base, with some projects terminated while successful ones moved to market. But crucially, ideas could only enter at the beginning and exit through the company's own marketing channels. This approach made sense in an era when university research was limited, skilled workers rarely changed employers, and venture capital barely existed. Companies that wanted to innovate had little choice but to do everything themselves. The closed model produced remarkable achievements. Bell Labs invented the transistor, laser, and cellular technology while earning 8 Nobel Prizes. However, by the late 20th century, this model began breaking down. Several erosion factors undermined its effectiveness. The growing availability of skilled workers who could take knowledge with them when changing jobs, the expanding venture capital market that funded startups commercializing new ideas, the increasing speed at which products must reach market, and the growing capability of external suppliers to provide high-quality components. These changes created a fundamental problem. Companies investing heavily in internal R&D found that many discoveries never reached the market because they didn't fit the company's current business model. Meanwhile, other valuable technologies leaked to competitors through departing employees or neglected patents. Xerox PARC famously developed the graphical user interface, mouse, and Ethernet networking, technologies that made billions for Apple and 3Com, while Xerox captured little value. The traditional model's limitations became increasingly evident as firms struggled with the false negative problem, rejecting projects that later proved valuable when developed elsewhere. Lucent Technologies and Xerox both watched as technologies they abandoned generated billions for startups that recognized their potential. Chesbrough's open innovation paradigm represents a complete rethinking of the innovation process. Rather than treating R&D as a closed system, it envisions innovation as an open ecosystem where valuable ideas flow freely between organizations. The model makes two radical assertions. First, that external ideas should be considered as valuable as internal ones, and second, that the path to market can involve external channels like licensing, joint ventures, or spin-offs. This shift challenges decades of conventional wisdom about protecting intellectual property and maintaining strict control over innovation processes. This approach fundamentally transforms how companies view knowledge flows. Instead of focusing solely on controlling intellectual property to prevent competitors from benefiting, companies actively seek external paths to market for technologies that don't fit their business model. Rather than treating R&D spillovers as an unavoidable cost, they become potential sources of value through licensing or spin-offs. Companies can monetize unused patents, collaborate with startups, and participate in industry-wide innovation ecosystems that accelerate technological advancement. The transformation of major corporations illustrates the power of open innovation. IBM's journey from a closed system to open innovation champion is particularly instructive. After decades as the quintessential vertically integrated technology company, IBM embraced open innovation by supporting open source software like Linux while generating over $1 billion annually from its patent portfolio. Their research labs now regularly collaborate with universities, startups, and even competitors. Similarly, Procter & Gamble's Connect Plus Develop program set a goal that 50% of innovations should include external partners, dramatically accelerating their product development while reducing costs. This initiative has led to successful products like Swiffer, which combined internal expertise with external technologies. Other companies have followed suit. Intel Capital invests in promising startups to gain early access to emerging technologies. GE's Ecomagination Challenge invited global participants to submit clean technology innovations, resulting in numerous partnerships and investments. These examples demonstrate how open innovation can take many forms, from strategic partnerships to innovation contests and corporate venture capital. The open innovation model creates a new landscape where ideas flow in multiple directions. Technologies can originate internally or externally and can reach market through the company's own channels or through external businesses. This permeability creates new opportunities for value creation that simply didn't exist in the closed model. Companies can now leverage global knowledge networks, reduce R&D costs, accelerate time to market, and expand their innovation capabilities far beyond their organizational boundaries. The model also enables smaller companies and startups to commercialize their innovations by partnering with established firms that possess complementary assets and market access. Perhaps Chesbro's most important insight is that technology itself has no inherent value. It only becomes valuable when commercialized through a business model. This explains why the same technology can fail in one company but succeed in another. The technology isn't the determining factor, but rather how it's brought to market. For example, Xerox developed many groundbreaking technologies like the graphical user interface and Ethernet networking, but failed to commercialize them successfully, while companies like Apple and 3Com turned similar technologies into billion-dollar businesses. A business model serves several critical functions: articulating the value proposition, identifying market segments, defining the value chain structure, estimating costs and profit potential, describing the firm's position within the value network, and formulating competitive strategy. Without an appropriate business model, even breakthrough technologies may fail commercially. Consider the case of Webvan, which had superior technology for online grocery delivery, but failed due to a flawed business model that couldn't generate sustainable profits despite massive investment. This explains why established companies often struggle with disruptive technologies. Their existing business models are optimized for current technologies and markets, not for radical innovations that might cannibalize existing products or require different pricing structures. Kodak, for instance, invented digital photography but struggled to adapt its business model from high-margin film to lower-margin digital cameras. When a technology doesn't fit a company's current business model, open innovation provides alternatives. License it to others, create a spin-off venture, or acquire external business models through corporate venture capital. IBM successfully transformed its business model by shifting from hardware manufacturing to services and consulting, while licensing its technologies to generate additional revenue streams. Cisco Systems exemplifies this approach. Rather than developing all technologies internally, Cisco systematically acquires companies with promising innovations, effectively outsourcing much of its R&D. This strategy allows Cisco to focus on integrating technologies into solutions while leveraging external innovation sources. Between 1993 and 2000, Cisco acquired 71 companies, helping it grow from $650 million to $22 billion in annual revenue. Their model includes not just acquiring technology, but also retaining key talent and rapidly integrating new capabilities into their existing product portfolio. This approach has become known as acquisition and development rather than traditional research and development. The success of business model innovation can be seen in companies like Amazon, which revolutionized retail by combining technology with a customer-centric business model. Starting with books, Amazon's model evolved to include marketplace sellers, cloud computing services, AWS, and subscription services, Prime, demonstrating how flexible business models can unlock new value from existing technologies. Similarly, Netflix transformed from a DVD-by-mail service to a streaming platform and content creator, showing how business model evolution can drive industry transformation. Open innovation dramatically changes how companies manage intellectual property. In the closed model, IP primarily served defensive purposes, preventing competitors from using a company's technologies. Patents often went unused if they didn't fit current products, with studies showing companies like Dow Chemical and Procter & Gamble utilize less than 20% of their patent portfolios. The open innovation paradigm transforms IP into a strategic asset class. Patents become not just protection for products, but potential revenue sources through licensing. Companies actively manage their IP portfolios, sometimes acquiring patents solely to license them rather than incorporate them into products. This shift has created new market intermediaries specializing in IP transactions. Companies like Yet2.com emerge to connect technology sellers with potential buyers, while others like Intellectual Ventures aggregate patent portfolios specifically for licensing revenue. Even traditionally secretive companies now selectively reveal technologies to attract partners or establish industry standards. The telecommunications industry illustrates this evolution. During the development of second-generation mobile phone standards, European manufacturers pooled their patents through cross-licensing to establish GSM as a dominant standard while charging outsiders substantial royalties. Qualcomm went further by developing CDMA technology, then exiting manufacturing entirely to focus on licensing its intellectual property, generating billions in high-margin revenue. However, this increased emphasis on IP monetization creates new challenges. The third-generation mobile phone standards became bogged down in patent disputes as over 50 companies claimed essential patents, potentially making the technology uneconomical through accumulated royalty demands. This anti-commons problem demonstrates how excessive focus on value capture can undermine value creation. Universities play a crucial role in open innovation ecosystems as generators of basic knowledge and skilled personnel. Historically, academic research operated under open science norms, where discoveries were freely published and shared. This system encouraged rapid knowledge dissemination while rewarding scientists through reputation and priority rather than direct financial compensation. However, the 1980 Bayh-Dole Act fundamentally changed this dynamic by allowing universities to patent federally funded research. University patenting exploded from 96 patents in 1965 to nearly 1,500 by 1992, with many institutions establishing technology transfer offices to commercialize discoveries. This shift created both opportunities and tensions. On the positive side, university patenting can facilitate technology transfer by providing incentives for commercialization and creating clear ownership of intellectual assets. Companies may be more willing to invest in developing technologies when they have exclusive licenses that protect their investments. However, concerns have emerged about fencing off upstream research that previously would have been freely available. Patents on basic research tools can impede follow-on innovation by requiring complex negotiations and licensing fees. Studies show that as university patenting increased in technology classes, the time lag for industrial patents citing prior art lengthened significantly, suggesting slower knowledge diffusion. The evidence indicates that firms best positioned to benefit from university research maintain both internal scientific capabilities and collaborative connections with academic researchers. Companies whose scientists co-publish with university researchers show better access to public science, but this relationship shows diminishing returns when too much research is externalized. The optimal approach appears to be selective patenting of applications with clear commercial potential, while maintaining open access to basic research tools, a balanced strategy that promotes both knowledge dissemination and commercialization. Open source software presents a fascinating challenge to traditional innovation models. Unlike proprietary technologies, open source code is freely available for anyone to use, modify, and redistribute. No company owns the core technology, and enhancements remain equally available to all participants. This seems to contradict the premise that technology requires a business model to create value. Yet companies like IBM, Red Hat, and Oracle have built billion-dollar businesses around open source. How? By creating business models that capture value from complementary goods and services rather than the core technology itself. IBM abandoned its proprietary web server to embrace Apache, recognizing it would waste resources trying to compete with open source quality. Instead, IBM built its profitable WebSphere business on top of Apache, providing enterprise features and support. Companies employ four distinct approaches to open source as part of their innovation strategies. First, pooled R&D allows firms to share development costs for foundational technologies like the Linux operating system through the open source development labs. Second, companies spin out internal technologies as open source projects to establish them as standards and attract external improvements, as IBM did with its Eclipse development platform. Third, firms build proprietary products that complement open source components, as Apple did by incorporating open source BSD Unix code into macOS while keeping its user interface proprietary. Finally, some companies encourage users to create donated complements, as game publishers do by releasing tools for players to create game modifications. Open source demonstrates that innovation can thrive through collaborative production across organizational boundaries. However, it typically works best for infrastructure components where differentiation is difficult and standardization is valuable. Most companies combine open and proprietary approaches, strategically deciding which elements to share and which to protect based on where they can best capture value. Open innovation inherently involves establishing connections between organizations. These networks serve as conduits for knowledge flows, allowing firms to access external ideas and find paths to market for internal technologies. Understanding these networks is crucial for implementing effective open innovation strategies. Networks can be categorized along two dimensions, deep versus wide ties, and formal versus informal ties. Deep ties involve repeated interactions with a limited number of partners, building trust and enabling complex knowledge transfer. Wide ties cast a broader net, connecting to diverse knowledge sources that might provide unexpected insights. Formal ties involve contractual relationships, like alliances or licensing agreements, while informal ties develop through personal connections between employees of different organizations. Geographic proximity often enhances network effectiveness by facilitating both planned and serendipitous knowledge exchanges. This explains why innovation clusters like Silicon Valley remain vital despite global communications technologies. Being physically present in knowledge-rich regions helps firms identify partners for formal relationships and enables better utilization of informal connections. However, firms must avoid becoming over-embedded in closed networks that recycle the same information. The most innovative companies maintain both strong ties with key partners and weak ties to diverse knowledge sources. They also strategically position themselves to bridge structural holes between otherwise disconnected networks, gaining access to non-redundant information. Knowledge inevitably flows outward as well as inward through these networks. Rather than futilely attempting to prevent all outflows, successful firms develop strategies to maximize returns from knowledge sharing. They may aggressively patent ideas and disseminate them widely to ensure royalty streams, or they might develop policies to license tacit knowledge when employees depart to startups. the most sophisticated firms maintain portfolios of complementary network ties rather than relying on single connections. They recognize that different types of innovation require different network structures and actively manage their network position to access the knowledge they need while protecting their most valuable intellectual assets. Many of today's most important innovations are systemic. They require coordinated changes across multiple components of a business ecosystem. Consider third-generation mobile phone systems, which required simultaneous development of network infrastructure, handsets, and applications. If any component is delayed or underperforms, the entire system stalls. Systemic innovations present unique challenges that drive companies toward open innovation approaches. No single firm, no matter how large, can internally develop all the components needed for complex systemic innovations. Instead, companies must coordinate activities among networks of partners working on different aspects of the system. Industry leaders face the particular challenge of functioning as architects who establish system designs, partition complexity, and enable other companies to provide components while ensuring integration. These architects must make credible commitments that signal dedication to specific innovation paths, thereby attracting external complementary innovators. Successful companies manage systemic innovation through two key processes: foresight and industry shaping. Foresight involves gathering information about evolving technologies, markets, and other firms' resource allocation decisions through links with multiple actors. Industry shaping means proactively influencing technology evolution and others' resource allocation through financial incentives, sharing proprietary resources, and participation in standardization processes. Different mechanisms serve these processes across various time horizons. During early technology development, 5 to 10 years before commercialization, firms use research consortia and university collaborations. In the early commercialization phase, 2 to 5 years before full commercialization, corporate venturing and strategic investments become important. During full commercialization, business development mechanisms like supplier and customer alliances play crucial roles. Traditional resource allocation models focused solely on optimizing internal resources prove inadequate for systemic innovations. Companies must instead develop capabilities to manage dependencies across organizational boundaries, coordinating external resources they don't directly control. The commercialization of breakthrough innovations often requires establishing entirely new business relationships across previously unconnected industries. Agricultural biotechnology illustrates this challenge. Genetically modified crops with enhanced nutritional profiles or pharmaceutical properties create connections between agriculture, food processing, healthcare, and industrial materials that didn't previously exist. These complex interorganizational networks, termed value constellations, fundamentally differ from traditional sequential value chains. In value constellations, participants collectively rethink their roles and relationships to create value together. Competition occurs between product offerings rather than individual companies, with competitive advantage stemming from how resources are assembled and managed within the constellation. Creating successful value constellations requires addressing several challenges. First, the central innovating firm must coordinate relationships with partners who own crucial complementary assets. Neither arm's-length transactions nor vertical integration work well. The former, because they require transaction-specific investments that create hold-up risks. The latter, because the innovation often affects companies many times larger than the innovator. Second, value distribution must be considered jointly with value creation. All participants must benefit compared to alternative arrangements, even if the innovator controls scarce intellectual property. The experience with genetically modified crops shows that ignoring any stakeholder, even end consumers who initially gained little direct benefit, can undermine the entire constellation through opposition and reduced adoption. Third, initial thin market problems must be addressed. early participants often face high costs and risks when few others have adopted the innovation. The central firm must provide support through guaranteed demand, risk mitigation, or other incentives to overcome this chicken and egg problem. Value constellations represent the commercialization counterpart to innovation networks, showing that openness applies not just to technology sourcing, but also to bringing innovations to market with downstream partners. This perspective integrates multiple theoretical frameworks, including value chain analysis, transaction cost economics, resource-based view, and network theory, to provide a comprehensive understanding of how value is created and captured in complex innovation ecosystems. The open innovation paradigm continues to evolve as technology, markets, and institutions change. Several trends suggest its importance will only increase in coming years. First, knowledge is becoming more widely distributed globally. No company or country can monopolize expertise in any field, forcing even the largest organizations to tap external knowledge sources. The rise of metanational companies that prospect globally for ideas and technologies exemplifies this trend. Second, digital technologies are reducing coordination costs, making it easier to manage complex networks of innovation partners. Cloud computing, collaboration tools, and digital platforms enable more fluid boundaries between organizations and more dynamic reconfiguration of value networks. Third, the increasing pace of technological change shortens product life cycles and raises R&D costs, making it difficult for any single firm to maintain leadership across all relevant technologies. Companies must specialize while developing the capability to integrate external innovations. However, open innovation also raises important questions about long-term innovation incentives. Unlike vertically integrated R&D that generated fundamental discoveries through central corporate labs, open innovation relies on specialized innovation labor and intermediate markets. This raises concerns about whether adequate motivation exists for basic research that may not yield immediate commercial applications. The relationship between open innovation and intellectual property remains complex. While strong IP rights can facilitate technology markets by enabling firms to safely share ideas without fear of expropriation, excessive focus on appropriability can impede knowledge flows and create anti-commons problems. The optimal balance likely varies by industry and technology type. As open innovation practices spread beyond high technology sectors to more traditional industries, we can expect continued experimentation with business models that combine internal and external innovation sources. The most successful companies will develop sophisticated capabilities to manage knowledge flows across organizational boundaries, capturing value from both their own ideas and those that originate elsewhere. Open innovation represents more than just a set of techniques. It's a fundamental reconceptualization of how value is created and captured in the knowledge economy. By recognizing that useful knowledge is widely distributed and that internal business models determine which external ideas a company can effectively use, the open innovation paradigm provides a powerful framework for navigating an increasingly complex innovation landscape. The most successful companies have already embraced this approach. Procter & Gamble transformed its innovation process through its Connect Plus Develop program, increasing R&D productivity by 60%. Apple built the world's most valuable company not by inventing technologies, but by brilliantly integrating and commercializing innovations from multiple sources. Google systematically acquires promising startups to incorporate their technologies into its ecosystem. For managers, the implications are clear. Innovation strategy must extend beyond internal R&D to encompass external knowledge sourcing, business model innovation, and intellectual property management. Companies need processes to identify and evaluate external technologies, capabilities to absorb and integrate them with internal knowledge, and business models flexible enough to capture value from diverse innovation sources. For policymakers, open innovation suggests the importance of creating institutional environments that facilitate knowledge flows while maintaining innovation incentives. This includes balanced intellectual property regimes, support for university-industry collaboration, and policies that enable labor mobility while protecting legitimate company interests. The transition from closed to open innovation parallels broader shifts in our economy and society, from hierarchical to networked structures, from controlling to enabling strategies, from ownership to access models. By embracing these changes rather than resisting them, organizations can harness the collective intelligence of global innovation networks to solve the complex challenges facing our world.